Let's read this morning from the book of Philippians, chapter 3. We're beginning a new chapter, but not a new theme. Verse 1 of chapter 3 reads this way: "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord." The word "finally" means as to the rest. That is, the rest of the things that I'm going to write unto you, they have to do with rejoicing in the Lord. I cannot name, it is impossible to enumerate all of the things for which we ought to praise God. But Paul is going to teach them something in these verses that we study today that are the reasons, or at least the main reason, why we should praise the Lord. And that's found in verses 9, where Paul reads, or writes, and we read, "And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." So we all understand how we're made righteous. That is, righteous in the sight of God. That righteousness comes to us because we have faith in what Christ did when he died on the cross and when he was resurrected from the grave. Paul said to write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous. The word grievous here means tedious or not boring. So Paul is really saying to these people, I'm writing to you, and it's not something that I get tired of doing because it's important. But for you, it is safety. That is, it gives you a strong support as a believer in Jesus Christ. Sometimes I know people are bored by preachers who constantly remind them of things that are dangerous, constantly remind them of things that are good and righteous. But I think we all have to be reminded from time to time what is the very basis of our righteousness before God. And that's what Paul, by this writing this morning, is going to do. Verse 2 begins with a very strong statement. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. So he says, I don't get bored warning you of things that will cause the foundation of your Christian life to be undermined and you lose your peace with God. Not your salvation, but your peace with God. He mentions those Judaizers who preach that you must be circumcised before you can be saved as dogs. Very strong statement, and I suppose that we wouldn't be anxious to make that statement about someone who was a preacher, because a dog to the Jews was a very unclean animal, something to be feared terribly. The evil workers were hucksters. And the concision, I need to explain that to you along with these other statements this morning. Look out for those dogs, the Judaizers. Where do we find support for that? Turn with me to the book of Galatians, chapter 5. In verse 10, Paul writes, "I have confidence in you through the Lord that you will be none otherwise minded than that which he has written. But he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be." And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Paul said, if I was preaching circumcision as the plan of salvation, the Jews wouldn't bother me. They wouldn't persecute me. Then is the offense of the cross ceased. That is, relying entirely upon the work of Christ on the cross, I wouldn't be persecuted, because that would not offend if I included circumcision. I would they were even cut off, which trouble you. And here's another strong statement. There were people coming into the churches of Galatia. They were following Paul literally wherever he went. And they were asking, have you been taught the truth? And they said, well, Paul said he taught us the truth. What did he say about circumcision? Well, he said that it was not necessary to become a Jew before you could be saved, and therefore circumcision is not necessary anymore. Not only is it not necessary to a Gentile, it's not necessary to the Jews anymore. Look out for those dogs, the Judaizers. Very harsh words. What had Paul said or written about Judaism and circumcision and the plan of salvation? In the book of Galatians, same book where we just read from, chapter 5, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage, and that is the law system. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. That is, your circumcision, if you're depending on it as the basis of your relationship with God, the profit you'll get from that relationship is absolutely nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. In other words, you can't say circumcision is the fulfillment of the law. There are other commandments. There are other holy days that you have to observe. There are other holy seasons you have to observe. There are offerings you have to make. And Paul called this being entangled with the yoke of bondage. So wherever Paul went and preached the truth, someone came behind and told them, well, you have not been circumcised, and therefore you're not right in the sight of God. He states, Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law. That is, if you believe that your justification before God is based upon keeping the law after being circumcised, then you're standing in a position where grace cannot help you. You are fallen away from grace. They never were in grace. But if you believe you can be saved by good works, you're not close enough to being saved. You're fallen away from that grace which should save you. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which works by love. So it's very sound in what Paul has said, that circumcision has nothing to do with our salvation. Now, to help you to understand what Paul's talking about, I would bring up those who believe that baptism is a part of our salvation experience. If you're not born again, if you're not saved, if you're not right with God, your baptism is invalid, because what it portrays, you do not trust. If you believe that going into this baptistry and being immersed in water will in any way add to your salvation, I want to inform you this morning that all you've done is get wet. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 17, Paul writes, "But as God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called everyone, so let him walk. And so ordain I in all churches. If any man called being circumcised, let him not become uncircumcised. Is any man called, that is called to salvation, uncircumcised, let him not be circumcised." Now here's what, this is pretty plain language. Circumcision is nothing. You know what nothing is? And uncircumcision is nothing. But the keeping of the commandments of God. Now, when you read in the book of Romans about Abraham, the father of the faithful, Paul raises an issue that we ought to be aware of, and that is he asks them, when was Abraham righteous in the sight of God? Before circumcision or after circumcision? This Romans chapter 4, verse 10 begins a long reading, and I'm not going to take time to do that. Where was Abraham saved? Evidently when he was in Ur of Chaldee. And that was long before circumcision became a part of the Judaic system. He was found righteous before God by faith when he accepted God's truth about how to be saved. And being saved or being found righteous before God is a matter of faith and not of works. Works don't make your salvation better, they make your life better. I'm going to say that again. Salvation doesn't make you more, works after salvation don't make you more saved. You can't get any more saved than being born again. Now, as we look further in these scriptures, these things are repeated. In Galatians chapter 6, here's something that I want you to really hook up with. Dogs. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer for persecution for the cross of Christ. In other words, there are people who are convincing those in the congregation who have not been circumcised, you have to be circumcised. And they were preaching it so that the apostles or men in Jerusalem would not persecute them. You see, Paul had an arrest warrant out for him from Judea. And that was because he was preaching that through Christ the law was fulfilled. And now the emblem or sign of circumcision is invalid. Because in the Roman reading in chapter 4, it tells us that circumcision was a sign that Abraham had become a man of God. Well, that's not our sign today, and our sign isn't baptism that we're the children of God. Paul writes that ye are sealed by the Holy Spirit until the day of promise. The Holy Spirit is our seal of promise, as circumcision was the seal of promise to Abraham and to the nation that came from his loins. Now, reading a little further, he writes, "But God forbid that I should glory, Because these people glory if they can get you to do something in the flesh. Take the Lord's Supper, be circumcised. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision avails anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. That's what really counts. And we are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Not because we have met some religious ritual, but because we by faith have trusted the plan that God has offered us. Now, go back to the book of Ephesians, book of Philippians, and let's look at this. You know, when Paul speaks or writes of concision, now look at this. Beware of dogs, that is, people who preach circumcision as a plan of salvation or add to your salvation. Beware of evil workers. Now, these evil workers were people who were hucksters. You've seen them on television offering you something and it's going to cure all the problems you have with washing, or it doesn't make any difference. But if you'll call right now, you can have two of them just for shipping and handling, which cost you $14, and the item cost $14, but the second item, just shipping and handling, that cost $14. So you pay $28 for two. Do you get the scam, the sham, the flim-flam man? Flim-flam men promise you something that you may need and want, but they don't tell you the truth about what it costs. People who preach a salvation that does not include entirely the blood that was shed by Christ on the cross of Calvary is a flim-flam man. You're getting taken, people. Now, beware of the concision. Notice there's a difference. It's not circumcision, it's concision. It's a different word. And it means mutilation. Here's Paul's point. No longer is circumcision a sign or a rite or ritual that belongs to God's people, Jew or Gentile. And if you believe that being circumcised, that it will add to your salvation or add to your righteousness before God, all you did was receive mutilation. Think about that. That's why I said, if you believe that baptism saves you when you go into the water and you come up, you go into the water lost and you come up saved, you didn't get saved if you weren't saved before you went in the water. It's just getting dumped. It's getting wet. That's all you did. God won't bless it. God doesn't want it. Because the Bible tells us that these rituals that are used to teach the plan of salvation are nothing. They are not an asset to you in any way except to show forth in baptism, and I'll go there, that your belief is in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Now, Paul gets serious. He said, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, and this is what he said, verse 3, we are the circumcision which worship God in spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Who are we? Well, our circumcision is not made with hands. It is a circumcision of the spirit. It is a circumcision of the heart. You cannot see it. It is not made by man. It is made by the Holy Spirit of God. And therefore, it is a seal of God that we have been born again. Now, we worship God in spirit, not the flesh. Nothing about the flesh enters into worship. When flesh enters into worship, it's not worship. It's entertainment, or it's boring, or whatever it is, it's not worship. Whatever the flesh can do, God rejects. So that just strips us bare, Brother Penn. Absolutely, that's the way God wants us. Totally before Him in spirit rather than coming in flesh and spirit. You cannot worship in flesh and spirit. If you're worshiping in spirit and the flesh gets loose, you've lost your worship. That's why we don't applaud. If you applaud, you applaud the flesh. If you want to say amen, that's spiritual. Now, I'll just go back to the opening statement. I never get tired of warning you. I'm not bored this morning, okay? I'm not boring me. I may be boring you, but I'm not boring me. Because what I'm telling you is for your own safety. That's what Paul said. Now, Paul said, look, if any person has ever been saved because of genealogy, because of a ritual, because of a rite, because of this and that and the other, I want you to know that I was in every way that kind of man, though I might also have confidence in the flesh. If any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. In other words, if the flesh can be trusted, I've got more reason to trust in the flesh than any other man living on this earth. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Paul had never been brought before the Sanhedrin with an accusation against him. Paul, you stole something. Paul, you lusted. Paul, you coveted. Paul, you killed somebody. Paul said, I was without an accusation from anyone that I had in any way broken the law of Moses. Paul said, that's how I live my life. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Okay, assets, one column. Just add it all up here. Strike the line, add it all up, and get 3 zeros, 4 zeros, ever how many zeros you want to write. It'll never come up 1 or 2 or 3 or 4 or 1,000. Add up all your carnal assets. I don't lie. Well, you just told one. I don't lust. Probably just told another. I don't covet. Probably just told another. Add up all those things in the plus side of your flesh, and it still amounts to nothing. Paul said, I just put them in the lost column. Yes, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Paul said, I'll forget all those things, my genealogy, everything my flesh did, Hebrew of the Hebrews' reputation, the zeal I had to persecute the church as blasphemers. No one ever blamed me that I had broken the law. No one ever called me a sinner. But he said, I can count that loss because I want to have a knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Now that knowledge is a certain true experiential knowledge. Paul said, as long as I counted on this column, I had no experiential knowledge of Jesus Christ. But when I put Christ in this column and Christ alone in this column and believe on what he did in the cross and trust it for my salvation, I have an experiential knowledge of Christ. And I wouldn't trade that for everything in the other column. Paul said, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. Oh, me, he's going to be a whiner, isn't he? What it cost him to be a Christian. I gave up this and I gave up that. Oh, I tell you what, it's awful to be a Christian. It's so tough. Oh, boo-hoo me. I lost this and I lost some friends. Paul said, and do not count them but dung that I may win Christ. The word dung, as I understand the Greek language, means walking through the streets of a city. When you got to your house, before you went in, you scraped the soles of your feet off. And Paul said, that's what I think all this carnality and all of this glorying in my genealogy, that's all it's worth, just what I could scrape off my feet. That's the value of it. Paul said, I have suffered all things and do count them but dung that I may win or gain or have Christ and be found in him. And I think that some translators put, and be found in him at death. And be found in him at death. Not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, which is an imputed righteousness and not an earned righteousness. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Verse 10, Paul writes, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. I can't preach that today because it's not Easter. So I'll preach it next Sunday. Let's stand and have an invitation, please.